Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing.
And Bubba Wallace.
You know what's the worst part of a race? A rain delay.
Sitting around, waiting for the track to dry, is dull.
But instead of waiting, we hang out with Chumba Casino.
Social casino slots, bingo, solitaire, plenty of fun to keep us entertained.
So why let a rain delay slow you down? Play now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Amazon Music has everything you want to listen to. Music, podcasts, and now audiobooks. All in one app. Amazon Music Unlimited. Audiobooks included.
Welcome to another edition of Spits and Suds as the offseason rolls down. We got a banger of a show today. Robert Tiffin of StarsThoughts.com and NHL.com joins us in just a moment. A lot to talk about with Robert, and love his insight on all these upcoming issues. We'll talk Wyatt Johnston. We'll talk Jake Oettinger. We'll talk about the Stars and Mavs settling their differences. And the hockey news says the Stars window could be closing. We'll discuss that as well. But first, let's discuss our friends at the On Time Experts. They were at our big event at Boomer Jacks. They wanted to be a part of it. They want to embrace the community. In fact, they told us afterwards, this is exactly the kind of community efforts we absolutely love. They embrace hockey in DFW. As they told us, you see the Zamboni on the ice during the Stars game. What does it say? It says the on-time experts. The ribbon says the on-time experts. They have amazing specials throughout this summer. Temperatures are in 100 degrees. If your AC is working, that is awesome. But could it get a little cooler? It probably could if you get that tune-up special from the on-time experts. $59 for first-time customers. They gut your whole system. That's awesome. And they clean it. Dust, debris, all kinds of buildup that takes years off your AC life. They're going to put life back into the AC system. Also, I took advantage of that $99 first floor drain cleaning. Had a clog, couldn't get it out. On Time Experts came out. They got it out for me. It's the kind of service they want to give you so you can be a customer for life. Same day service guaranteed. And what that means is if you have an issue with your system today, they will be out there today. They have the technicians. They have the trucks. That's why they're among the tops in DFW. 6,000 people said that the on-time experts are among the best. Give them a try. I think you'll find out why they are the best. They support Spits and Suds. They're a proud partner of the Dallas Stars, the on-time experts at theontimeexperts.com. Live from California, it is the greatness of Robert Tiffin. I'd say he's visiting family, but, and I'm also visiting family, but let's do this official Spits and Suds style. Currently scouting the Anaheim Ducks in the Ontario rain, and I am currently in Massachusetts learning about Hockey East so I can talk about Hockey East all year long. Also scouting the Providence Bruins for our buddy Cross Hannes. It is the greatness of Robert Tiffin. How are you, buddy?
Doing great, Gavin. Everything, you're exactly right. Everything's about hockey first, and then you fit in family where you can. That's how I try to live my life.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Good to get out of that DFW weather.
Oh, man. Yes. This week especially, I'm getting some very good schadenfreude from looking at how hot it is in Dallas. Yeah. Where I've been, you know, living for a long time now and embrace the heat. You kind of got to lean into it. I've talked about it a little bit before, I'm sure. But I won't lie. It's nice being able to see the sunset yesterday evening out here in California. And it actually gets cooler when the sun goes down. It's this crazy concept that it has not existed in Dallas for the last couple of months. And I love
absolutely. It. Well, we haven't talked on this program, since the event happened. You were one of the stars of the event. Love how many people wanted to see you. So I just wanted to say personally, thank you for showing up that night. You were awesome.
Oh, it was a blast, Gavin. Thank you for saying that. And much moreover, thanks for putting it on and making it all happen. But like you kind of alluded to, talking to the people there was absolutely the highlight of it.
Yeah,
the panel was super fun. I mean, I think we could have gone another couple hours just with that.
Yeah, we had there. No, we could have. I looked at the clock and I said, we probably need to wrap it up. It's a school night, but you're
between,
right.
Yeah, between having you and Brian Ray, who, you know, do this for a living in terms of, you know, running a show. And then you had a bunch of journalists sitting around who can gab about just about anything given a prompt. Yeah, we were probably merciful to end it after 2 hours when we did, but it was a ton of fun. And really, really fortunate to be a part of it. So
absolutely. All right, let's start with something that kind of came out of the blue. A joint press release, something you do not see often in pro sports between two pro sports teams, the Dallas Stars and the Dallas Mavericks. And basically, all things are pretty much settled. And you can read the latest on Robert's awesome website, starsthoughts.com, where Robert kind of dives into it. Give me your overall thoughts, Robert, on this, because it was kind of interesting. There was some gamesmanship in there that I thought there would be some hurt feelings, but seems as though all is well now.
Here's what I know. What I know is that few months ago-ish, I'd heard from a couple of people that things were trending in this direction, that this was kind of the likely outcome. It was just a matter of sorting out all the details. We didn't get any of the details. Obviously, if you read the very short statement, and the Stars confirmed they're not, you know, gonna elaborate really, other than just to say, yep, we're happy it's all settled. Everyone's pleased it's behind us and moving forward, which is kind of what you'd expect. But at that, so that's what I know, which isn't much beyond what the statement says. From here, though, I think we can get into some things we can logically conclude. So how would you like to hear some of my kind of informed speculation on this?
I love it. Let it rip.
Okay. So from where I'm sitting, one of the biggest things we know that it was at odds here is the money. There were, what, I think tens of millions of dollars is what had been reported, that had been basically put in escrow since the Mavericks invoked the clause saying the Stars had violated the agreement and they bought them out for, you know, what was it, $110 or whatever, to seize their half of control of American Airlines Center. And therefore, they should also get that other half of the revenue from American Airlines Center and everything. So that money had all been basically frozen. So I don't think it's outlandish to wonder if part of the settlement was basically deciding, okay, we can go to a jury trial, even though the judge said that in the pretrial motions, the judge, you know, said, yeah, the Mavericks are not, it's not crazy of them to go this route. Sure, you could have gone to jury trial and tried to sort all this out, but it makes a lot more sense to me that basically this just came down to, let's find a way to chop up all the money and figure out all the details for now and for the remaining few years so that everyone has cost certainty on both sides. Now, I kind of doubt that's just going back to a 50-50 split. Because the Mavericks had all the leverage here, right? Going into potential trial, the pretrial motions all came down in the Mavericks' favor, pretty much. So that's why I suspect that what this announcement might be kind of alluding to is there was actually a negotiated settlement behind the scenes in terms of how to divide all that revenue both now and in the future. Again, total speculation, but I think it kind of makes sense that at the end of the day, it was a lot about the money.
I know this probably didn't play a factor, but the human side of things, I think that it's a good thing for both Mavs PR and Stars PR with two new stadiums being talked about that this is also settled.
Yeah, I think PR is not an insignificant factor. Certainly for the Mavericks, you're still trying to stay in Dallas, right? Or at least a place that's technically within Dallas, the Value Mall site. But again, who knows? I'm not going to count anyone's chickens until they're built and charging, you know, game day concessions prices. That's a terrible mixed metaphor, but you get the idea.
Yep.
I think PR is a big part of it. Just put it behind us and say, okay, we're no longer going to be constantly in headlines about fighting. You know, even if we're winning, the Mavericks, something I wrote about yesterday was the Mavericks have made some good PR steps over the last few months in signing Ujiri, their new president. Some of the personnel moves, moving on from Anthony Davis. They've done some things they needed to do to kind of move past the horrible missteps of, you know, the Nico Harrison and Luka Doncic trade. So this doesn't hurt them. And from the Stars' perspective, it also, I'm sure, Well, there's two things from the Stars perspective. Did you want to jump in before I go into that?
No, please. Yeah, no, keep going. Keep going. Okay. This is great info.
From the Stars perspective, yes, it's also nice not to have this huge PR battle. But honestly, I think you talk to the average person, the Mavericks probably are sitting in a more negative PR position just in the general Dallas public than the Stars. Not saying that's necessarily right or wrong. I'm not really here to take sides necessarily, but I think if you just kind of look at how things have gone, that Tom Gilardi probably has a little bit better PR and has laid the groundwork for that better perception, better and more effectively than Patrick Dumont and Mary Madeline have done since their arrival. And also for the Stars, some cost certainty of any kind is a good thing right now. With the Victory Plus stuff that I know you guys have talked about in the show too,
yeah,
it probably is, you know, even if they're not necessarily, again, don't know these numbers at all, but let's say it's not 50-50 anymore, but it got negotiated to some other split that's maybe more in the Mavericks' favor, but it's not 100%, you know, Mavericks' revenue like it could have been technically if they had won, you know, in a trial and all their motions and everything. Just getting some kind of certainty for the Stars, I think, is probably a good thing, because finances, they've taken a few financial kind of hits for one reason or another, going all the way back to 2020 when their deepest playoff run going to the Stanley Cup final happened when they got $0 of revenue for it during COVID, when it was all played in Edmonton and they weren't getting any revenue from any of those playoff games. So if you're the Stars, there's been a lot of things that have been very unfortunate over the last 6 years or so when it comes to revenue. And as much as sports, you know, franchises are still exploding in value and no one's, you know, saying that the Gilardi family is, you know, pulling their pockets out or anything, they're doing just fine. Like all billionaires kind of are, broadly speaking, it still doesn't hurt to know this is where we're going to be at, whatever, even that, if that number isn't quite as good as you wish it might be, cost certainty is always a good thing.
You know, this is a hockey podcast, but you did mention the Mavs, and they have made strategic moves within, I would say, the last 8 to 9 months. The hiring of Gina Miller, who's the head of communications, I thought was a brilliant move. Mm-hmm. She has an amazing track record. And then, as you mentioned, team president Masai Ujiri, mm-hmm. and then hiring Mike Schmitz, who is a very respected personnel person, as the general manager, and then hiring Dusty May out of the blue from Michigan. Yep. Like, I understand people are still upset about the Luka trade and other things, but at the same time, I think it's been, you know, I mean, we have to give credit, even as a hockey podcast, it's been a heck of an off season for the Mavs.
Yeah, they've done a lot of good things in terms of what you have to do to get back into your fans' kind of good graces after falling as far as they've fallen over the last just, what, year and a half? It's crazy how it's not really been that long.
Yeah.
So that's what you have to do. So it doesn't hurt them to, and again, there's always uncertainty with any trial and any legal motion, right? You never, especially with a jury trial, like there's never 100% certainty how things are going to go, I think. So taking that out of the equation and just saying, you know what, we're all going to sit down and basically go over the probabilities of what would be likely to happen if we went this route and that route, and both sides, legal teams, I'm sure, basically coming to an agreement of, yeah, this probably is something we can live with. That seems, that, why not go that route, right? Especially if you're the Mavericks, when you can at least get out of the public eye on that front. You know, right. They've also got some drama with Mark Cuban and stuff. So goodness knows they've still got a lot of drama in Mavericks land, but taking one off the ledger probably doesn't hurt.
Okay. The NHL Network is releasing their top 10 lists, and they just released their top 10 goalies. And our very own Jake Oettinger falls at number 7. Let me give you the top 6 ahead of Jake Oettinger. Andre Vasilevsky at number 1, Connor Hellebuck at number 2, Igor Shesterkin at number 3, Ilya Sorokin at number 4, Jeremy Swayman of the Bruins at number 5, Logan Thompson of the Capitals as of number 6. Robert, I think that's a pretty fair number for Jake Oettinger, because of those top 6, I don't know, based on last year's play, let's take it, I don't know if he could have leaped anyone. Behind him, Dan Ladar of the Philadelphia Flyers. Number 9, Jesper Wallstedt. Let's see if he can repeat that performance. And then number 10, Jacob Dobis from the Montreal Canadiens, which is pretty amazing that a guy that was playing in the NAHL in the minors for a long time is now ranked among top 10 in the league as far as goaltenders.
Yeah, goaltending remains, I think, not a complete mystery, but it is always remarkable where teams find goalies. I mean, look at Brandon Bussey who won the Stanley Cup in Carolina, right?
Yeah. Like
some of these guys can go from waivers in one day to being a champion the next, because goaltending, it's just been a position that's improved so much in the last couple of decades. And even as that's kind of regressed a little bit, as the league has changed their approach to solve goalies more effectively in the last couple of years, and stats have changed as well. I know we've talked about like the drop in save percentage across the NHL and stuff on this show. There's no denying that there are a lot of very good goalies out there, and sometimes a goalie has a really good year and you can find that goalie from almost anywhere. As far as Jake Oettinger specifically, I think that ranking is actually very fair and maybe even a tiny bit generous if we're basing it off just this last season. And I think, as I understand these rankings, it's kind of these goalies right now. So it's not necessarily just grading their prior season. It's saying in broad terms of who we think these goalies are going into the season. So yes, last season is going to be weighted more heavily, but it's not just about last season. So last season, the good for Jake Oettinger, he was third in wins. He had a very heavy work, fairly heavy workload, right? He's very much a starter. Played a fair amount of games, not quite as many as he has before, but a fair amount of games. The bad, his save percentage was as low as it's ever been at .899 for a full season's worth of work. If you look into his metrics, they are probably closer to like 12th or 14th in the league from what I've seen looking at a couple of different places. So, you know, still above average, but he just didn't have a great year last year. Didn't have a terrible year last year, but right. It wasn't great. And so to me, saying seven, like you said, not top five or six, you're not quite in one of these like elite all world guys. And another reason I think that's a perfectly reasonable ranking is that's also like exactly where Oettinger falls in terms of salary too. I think he's one of four goalies making, was it 8.25 million or whatever his cap it is in that group of basically like sixth through ninth or fifth through
eighth. Swayman and him are basically equal on salary.
Yeah. So I still think that's pretty fair. Like, you know what you're getting from him. He's a workhorse. He can play a lot of games for you. And he's had some really good playoff series. You know, of course, the Calgary one. But even 2 years ago, you know, the Mikko Rantanen run doesn't happen if Oettinger doesn't play as well as he does in that Colorado series. And then in the Winnipeg series when they outdueled Connor Hellebuck, who most people would put at the very top of this goalie list. So you can certainly quibble and say he should be lower based on his last year, or you could quibble and say he should be higher because wins are all that matters. And he was much higher last season. To me though, he's right kind of in a, where a goalie enters what you kind of expect to be his prime, just based on where athletic potential, you know, it's later than skaters tend to enter their prime in their, you know, early to mid 20s, but late 20s for a goalie, you kind of understand the position, you understand the skaters in the league, and you've developed your craft just about as well as it can be. Look, this year, Jake Oettinger has even more motivation than he had last year after the whole Pete DeBoer thing to take a big step forward. I know we talked about it at this Bits and Suds event last week, but I think he'll have even more motivation this year. So to me, seventh is a good spot to say, yeah, you're still a top 10 guy, but you know, it's up to you to prove that you're in that next tier. And that's, I think it's a very fair ranking for that reason.
You're around the team all the time. I think people might look at Jake Oettinger and see his calmness, and some might mistake it for, you know, I think a fan base wants that dog. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Like almost taking that goalie stick and whacking it against the
Eddie Belfour.
Yeah, exactly. That's a perfect example. They want Eddie Belfour. Mm-hmm. And so when they get a guy that remains calm, sometimes that signals to them, well, is he really into it? You know, I mean, how much does he really want to be the best in the league?
I would encourage everyone who wonders about that to watch Jake Oettinger's exit interview from this past season, his end of season press conference.
Very good. Yeah.
I think you see him as, you know, there's other interviews where he's shown some frustration and expressed disappointment, but I think he was really honest and candid about how disappointed he was about last season and how frustrated he was. It's clear, I think, reading, I don't even think you have to read between the lines. He kind of talks about how he had conversations even with his dad and some others about this season and how it didn't go the way he was hoping it would go. And for someone who has pushed himself historically to be as good as he has been and think it's worth putting that in context. Just because someone isn't the best goalie in the world and hasn't won a Stanley Cup doesn't mean they're a bad goalie. Jake Oettinger is still a very good goalie, and there's a ton of other NHL teams that would gladly take Jake Oettinger at that exact contract tomorrow if he were available. That doesn't mean that he's perfect, and that doesn't mean he's beyond, you know, the scope of any criticism or fan complaints. Of course, all athletes, you know, that's part of the job. That's what the money is for. But I think it's good to remember that for all of the things that he hasn't done yet, he's also become this team's franchise goalie for what, a half decade now.
Yeah.
And there are a lot of goalies that are drafted even higher than he is who never turn into that. So give him credit. He's certainly shown that he's capable of pushing himself to pretty good heights. He just has to do it to that final tier now. So it's up to him.
Baseball fans, think you know who's hitting a homer today? Well, FanDuel is giving you a free chance to call your shot with daily dingers. Joining the action is easy. Just make your free pick on who's hitting a home run in their game, and if you're right, you'll get a profit boost to use on your next bet for a chance at extra winnings. You've got nothing to lose and a lot to gain. And don't forget, you can make a free pick every day during the MLB season. It's just another reason why FanDuel is the home for home runs. So, are you ready to play your game today? Join all the action at FanDuel.com/podcast. That's FanDuel.com/podcast to play daily dingers and make your free pick on who's hitting a homer. Play ball and swing for the fences on FanDuel, an official partner of the MLB.
Must be 21 plus and present in Ohio. First online real money wager only. $5 first deposit required. A bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Let's move to one of his teammates and his good friends, Wyatt Johnston, featured on NHL.com, written by Mike Zeisberger. Johnston on continued growth with Stars, always really believed in myself. Zeisberger talked about coming off a career high 86-point season. I thought it was interesting. Wyatt Johnston, now just 23 years old. I feel like we look at him sometimes, Robert, as a 28 to 30-year-old. Just because of how mature he plays the game and how sound he plays the game, both defensively and offensively. Hard to believe he's 5 years in the league. But he does talk about that under 23. And I kind of think that fires him up with like Macklin Celebrini, Connor Bedard, Matthew Schaefer, Gavin McKinnon. And it goes through his point totals, which keep increasing, as well as his goal totals. That keep increasing. So I guess my question is, you know, is there the possibility that Wyatt Johnston can become a consistent 100-point player, or are we asking too much and just let the kid grow naturally?
I think last season we saw what can happen when you have someone as talented and skilled and smart as Wyatt Johnston, and you put him in an ideal situation, right? Playing with a player as creative as Mikko Rantanen on a power play that was clicking, both because of Rantanen, but everyone else on it too, as well as the Stars power play was clicking last year. Johnston was in the perfect situation to make the most of his talents, and to his great credit, he absolutely made the most of that situation. How many players do we see who get a chance on a top line? You know, how many rookies do we see? You know, they say, oh, they got to give him top 6 minutes of power play time to really prove that they can do this. It's not fair to stash him lower in the lineup. Wyatt Johnston started on the third line when he broke into the league, right? With Jamie Benn and Evgeny Dodonov especially, and playing some other places too. But he has earned everything he's gotten. As far as being a 100-point player, I think there's always some amount of like the circumstances have to line up for that to happen. I don't think, you know, you score 45 goals, I don't really care about your overall point totals. If you're hitting 40 plus goals, that is doing wonders for helping a team win, which is the ultimate goal, right? There's ways to amass a lot of points. There's players out there, you know, still that haven't been signed who scored quite a few points last year, but it's how those points are scored, I think, that are really critical. And Johnston is one of the premier players in the NHL. As you said, he's crazy young for how well he does it at making the most of those chances at converting him and setting him up too. He's so skilled. I mean, I think we saw two of those goals last year where he would have the puck at the short side and make a move like he was going to try to go backhand shelf on the far side and then draw it back and put it near side in between the post because the goalie was so automatic. Like, that's an understanding of the goalie position from a young shooter's perspective that's just brilliant to know if I do this, he's going to do that. And then I will have just enough time to do this. And he has obviously, you know, world-class hands to be able to execute it. He's so fun to watch. So sure, he can hit 100 points. Absolutely. Will he? I don't know. Even if he stays, you know, in the 80-90 range, that's still fantastic. But yeah, he absolutely could. You play with Mika Rantanen for a full season, I think a lot of people could hit 100 points. But
yeah,
well, a lot of great players could.
Yeah, absolutely. I did think the Minnesota Wild did a very nice job taking away the middle, whereas where he cashes in.
Yeah, they definitely were. And this is what happens in the playoffs too, right? These are things that get kind of shut down. And
yep,
for even the Wild, who scored, what, two or three times as many 5-on-5 goals as the Stars did in that series, even they, it wasn't necessarily a case of the Stars like structurally just completely breaking down. A few of those goals were fast breaks. A couple of them were bad turnovers. A couple of them were passes to good areas that got deflected. They were mistakes by the Stars, but they weren't like schematic mistakes. So both teams were very much locking down the middle of the ice very, very effectively. At least that was the intention. The difference is that the Stars made a few more mistakes, both in transition and a couple other spots, whereas the Wild made a lot fewer mistakes at 5-on-5. And when you're playing a team that doesn't have, you know, Roope Hintz and doesn't have Mika Rantanen's explosive ability and a few other assets, they were able to, like you said, take that away pretty consistently. And Wyatt Johnson, to be fair, one thing he doesn't have is that like MacKinnon level. I mean, who does? But he doesn't have that quite MacKinnon or Celebrini like absolute explosiveness and size to really just brute force past players.
Yeah.
Johnson has to do it in different ways with skill and creativity. He's not deficient in those areas, but it's not like the biggest tool in his toolkit. So we in the playoffs, that does make the job a little tougher, but I'm personally still betting on Wyatt Johnson to have a pretty good postseason this year.
Yeah. I mean, you and I kind of looked at each other when we were talking at the event about what person you couldn't lose on this team. And we were mentioned in Mikko Rantanen and we were mentioned in Jake Oettinger. And I think everyone on the panel, then Wyatt Johnson came to mind.
Yeah.
And it, you know, just because we're not used to losing him.
And he plays everywhere, right? Less so on the penalty kill last year, but his minutes, that's another crazy thing about his age, forwards his age, getting the workload he's gotten.
Yeah.
It's a testament to really to Pete DeBoer and Glenn Gullinson that they aren't just saying, oh no, this player isn't old enough or hasn't proven enough or whatever. I mean, he's proven quite a bit, but there are lots of players, you know, older than him who still have to kind of earn the trust to play the minutes he gets. And in a weird way, I'd almost say that like I think John Johnson could benefit from being trusted even a tiny bit less defensively and having a little bit less defensive responsibility.
Yeah.
Not because he can't necessarily handle some of that responsibility. There have been other times where he's played, you know, middle six type role and he's still shown he can be very good. His matchup against Nathan MacKinnon 2 years ago in the first round, if you watch that playoff series, it was really, really impressive. What Wyatt Johnson did in a fairly hard matchup against MacKinnon in the 2025 playoffs in the first round. But yeah, those minutes, they make him, as you say, pretty irreplaceable on this roster. And that's a pretty high compliment for a 23-year-old or whatever he is.
So a quickie, Logan Stankoven had his day with the cup yesterday and saw it on Twitter. And I think it was yesterday. And kudos, big celebration. And, you know, mm-hmm. He deserves it. And I saw some Stars fans on Twitter and I get it. And you guys are also going to be upset when Maverick Bork has a good year with Nashville, but if he does, but at the same time, I give you Mikko Rantanen and 100 points and I give you Jason Robertson and 100 points and that's what you have. So I understand Stars fans want to look at those things and I get it. And he was one of ours and he's homegrown and that's probably the reason. Same with Maverick Bork. But at the same time, that's why you grow because they're assets and look what you're getting in return. You received a top 10 elite player that scored 77 points in 64 games, meaning Mikko Rantanen basically on one leg the second half of the season from the Olympics mm-hmm. when he came back. So I'm excited about a healthy Mikko Rantanen that doesn't have to deal with international play and just can concentrate on the Dallas Stars. I think we're going to have a massive season from that player.
If you want, here's your devil's advocate. Well, not devil's advocate. Everything. I 100% agree with everything you said right there. You have to give to get. Yes, it stings. You'd like to keep the young kids and go out and acquire elite players, but that's usually not how it works in the league when you get to the apex of your championship window, which I think the Stars, you know, you'd argue the Stars might be in. But on the other hand, if you want to feel a little bit better about watching Logan Stankoven hoist the cup and everything, how's this? In 81 games last year, he scored 21 goals and 23 assists. It's 44 points in 81 games. Last year, Jamie Benn in 60 games scored 15 goals and 21 assists for 36 points in 60 games. Jamie Benn scored only 8 points fewer than Logan Stankoven in 21 fewer games. And then I feel like there was a segment of the fan base that didn't think Jamie Benn should be necessarily brought back even for the league minimum, which he was. So that's just the regular season. Obviously in the playoffs, he was outstanding. Obviously, he moved to center this year and played. He was very good in center. Obviously, Carolina is a whole different ball of wax. All of those things are true. I'm just saying that if you want to lean into something other than sour grapes or feeling sad, you can also be that person who says, he's not actually that good. Do I actually believe that? I'm not saying I do, but I'm saying if you look at raw point totals last year, you can at least come up with an argument for why, yeah, everything lined up great for the Hurricanes last year. They had a pretty nice road in the playoffs, and Stankoven, you know, made the most of it. You have to perform. He did. He's a great player. I don't think he's going to be, you know, doing anything other than improving from year to year. But it's worth remembering that, you know, 40 points in 80 games, 44 points in 80 games, that's not, yeah, I'll trade that for Mikko Rantanen, and I'll throw in some draft picks. I'll do it. I will every time.
Me too. Me too. I agree with you. All right. The wraparound podcast, which is part of the hockey news. The title is "The Dallas Stars Stanley Cup Window Could Be Closing Faster Than Expected." I saw it and I said I should not talk about it, but we're going to talk about it because
couldn't stay away.
I couldn't stay away because I just went down the roster last night and I'm like, okay, Wyatt Johnston, 23, Jason Robertson, not old, Mikko Rantanen. Yeah. I mean, still basically in his prime. Look at the defensive core, Liam Bischel, young, Thomas Harley, young, Nils Lundqvist, not old. You know, Haskinen has years left. I'm going up and down the roster and I'm like, okay, so why is their window closing because of 1 year where they couldn't get past the Minnesota Wild? That, to me, it doesn't make sense. Not to mention, you were without Roope Hintz and Tyler Seguin. And for those saying, well, it's closing because you're losing Tyler Seguin and Jamie Benn maybe next year, to me, the salary cap is wide open for the Dallas Stars. They can sign Jason Robertson and have some fun in the free agent market. So to me, they can retool after this year.
Yeah, I still kind of stand by what I've said before, which is that I think the Stars window, you know, who knows? You have to judge it year by year, and obviously injuries and decline can change things. But Miro Heiskanen is signed through 28-29. So he's three more seasons as a Dallas Star before he'll hit free agency. Now, I think the Stars will do everything they can to re-sign him in 27-28 at the end of that season. But that right now is what they know he's signed for. And you also have, like you mentioned, the defense core. That defense core is really good. You have Harley and Lindell signed for that time. You have Nils Lundqvist for two more years, but if that goes well and he earns a healthy raise, I think everyone would be thrilled with that. The Stars would be more than happy to keep him around if he earns a healthy raise. Through those 4 years, you also have Rantanen, Johnston, Duchesne has one more year, 2028-29, and Roope Hintz is also signed at that point too. So yes, there's a lot you have to figure out, but those are all big key members of your core. Jake Oettinger too, signed well beyond that as well. So in terms of championship window, I think it's more going to be about how fast do some of the older players start to decline, because Hintz and Rantanen will both, you know, be approaching mid-30s by then, by the end of the decade. And as we know, the Stars don't have a ton of first-round draft picks waiting in the wings to break in, although Emil Hemming, you know, I would expect to play NHL games in the next 2 or 3 years. But to say the window is like closing now, to me, it does appear like it's going to close, you know, 5 years from now, certainly, and probably start to before then, but Jim Knoll's been pretty creative to maximize it as well as they have to now. It's not making excuses or anything. Obviously, they haven't won it all, and that's really what you're going to be judged on. But there's just so much elite talent at the top of the roster. You've got your top three defense. You've got your top four forwards. Got a couple great centers, even Duchesne, who, yeah, I would expect that we'll see some age-related decline because that's just the way these curves tend to work. But, hey, Duchesne's already kind of defied some of those aging curves already, and the Stars and Gullickson last year found a way to get him going again after the concussion and everything early in the season. So I actually kind of am optimistic about them finding a way to squeeze more juice, whatever juice he has left too, in the next few years. So yes, there are obviously reasons to be skeptical that they're going to be as good as they have been. But I think saying the window is closing is maybe selling them a bit short.
Yeah.
But who knows? Anything can happen. I'm covering all my bases. Anything can happen. There's your
Even if they don't have a great year, even if they get bounced in the first or second year, that doesn't mean the window is closing when you look at the youth of this team.
Yeah, Colorado wasn't saying their window was closing when they were getting bounced in the first round a couple times.
No, exactly.
Seattle or Dallas, right? So, yeah.
No, it's off-season chatter, so to speak. All right. Yep. So I'm here on Massachusetts on a hockey journey. Is there anything you want? A Merrimack College hockey sweatshirt? What's on the Robert Tiffin wish list? I mean, you looked awfully good in that Spitz and Suds shirt. Is there something that I can get you?
I want one of those beef sandwiches you and Colin Blackwell were talking about last year.
Man, that is a great point. Going to go to North Andover and check that place out. And I'm going to get Colin a gift certificate for appearing on the program. He'll be there excited.
There you go. Yeah, that'll be almost as good as me getting to eat one. So I'll take that.
I don't know if it would ship, Robert. You know,
here's what you do, Gavin. If they have merchandise at this place, you go get a sandwich from there.
Okay.
But if they have like hats or shirts or something, you get those, and then we have to sport them at one point just to get them to do a double take. That's what you do.
Oh, you know what? Really, that's a great idea.
There you go.
I love that idea. Okay. You are the man. Anything else coming up on starsthoughts.com? There's a great article that Robert just posted on the Stars and Mavs that I think everyone should read. There's a lot of great off-season stuff. I love the article about how are you filling your Stars off-season time that you talked about. What are you watching? What are you taking in? I thought that was great as well.
Yeah, it's always interesting to me to hear from other people too, you know, who basically jumps to other sports teams, even if they're not doing so well. The Rangers, as you guys know on The Fan, haven't necessarily been as entertaining a distraction as we might have hoped they would be this summer. You never know, though, in the AL West.
Right.
But it's really interesting to hear how people fill their time, and I enjoyed kind of going over that. So yeah, we'll have one more. I'll get one more vacation piece out here later in the week. Sean and I also have a podcast coming out tomorrow. Algorithmically Incorrect Hockey. He's also on vacation. So we've actually, you know, a little spoiler, that's been recorded. So we've already recorded it and we'll air it tomorrow
at
1:30.
I was going to put an over under on Sean wearing Mickey ears during the YouTube podcast.
I'm sure it wouldn't take much. It wouldn't take much, I'm sure. But I'm guessing that in the middle of Wednesday afternoon, he'd rather be in the middle of Epcot Center than staring at me on the screen. So I give him a lot of credit for that.
Well, we appreciate you, Mr. Tiffin. Hopefully we'll catch up with you later on this week, actually. And we'll do some more fun if you're available. We always appreciate you coming on the program. Thanks for your dedication to Spitz and Suds. We always appreciate it. StarsThoughts.com. That's the best way to support Robert. Super excited that Robert's taken on the duties of NHL.com. So really excited about that. Well, that as well. My friend, have a great day.
Thanks, Gavin. Always enjoy it.
And that's going to do it for another edition of Spitz and Suds. Hey, we keep rolling and the regular season is right around the corner, so we'll have more great podcasts for you in the upcoming days. Special thanks to our producer, Gregory Finley, who makes this program happen. Also to our friends at the On Time Experts. Remember, support the On Time Experts because they're supporting local hockey in DFW. I'm Gavin Spittle at 105.3 The Fan. Until our next podcast, have a great day, everyone.